Greetings, and welcome to the Grupo Lala fourth quarter 2020 results conference call. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode. If anyone should require operator assistance, please press star zero on your telephone keypad. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. It's now my pleasure to turn the call over to David Gonzalez, Head of Investor Relations. David, please go ahead.
Thanks, operator, and good day, everyone. Thank you for joining us to review Lala's financial and operating results for fourth quarter and full year 2020. The related press release was issued after yesterday's market close and has been posted to the investor relations section of our website, lala.com.mx. As always, we have presentation slides to aid today's discussion. You can find the slides in the same location of our website, along with an updated fundamentals spreadsheet. Participating on our call today are Gimena Celis, Grupo Lala's Chief Executive Officer, and Alberto Arellano, our Chief Financial Officer. Please move to slide two. Before we begin, I would like to remind you that the discussion during the call today is likely to contain forward-looking statements. Forward-looking statements are statements other than those which are historical in nature. All forward-looking statements are subject to significant uncertainties, and actual results may differ materially from those suggested by the statements. It is important to also note that these statements include expectations and assumptions which will be shared related to the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic. Specifically, there is significant uncertainty about the duration and impact of the COVID-19 pandemic. Lala's results could therefore change at any time, and the impact of the pandemic on the company's business results and outlook is a best estimate based on the information available as of today's date. Please move to slide three, which presents the agenda for today's call. Mr. Celis will begin the discussion of our results, starting with a review of our progress against the strategic priorities that we had established for 2020. He will then review Lala's fourth quarter results on a consolidated and regional basis. Mr. Arellano will follow with a more detailed look at our financial performance, as well as provide a breakdown of the one-off expenses related to our Central America business. Mr. Celis will conclude today's presentation with an overview of our strategic priorities for 2021. After that, we'll open the call for your questions. Mr. Celis, please proceed.
Thanks, David, and good day, everyone. Thank you for joining our earnings call. 2020 has been an exciting and dynamic year for Grupo Lala, and particularly rewarding for me, having rejoined Lala. I am pleased to note that together we made considerable progress related to the priorities that guide our company's strategy and evolution. Lala benefits from a privileged position as a leading consumer staples company in most of our markets, which has somewhat protected us from the impacts of the pandemic. There were considerable obstacles to overcome. However, the hard work of Lala employees at all levels enabled our company to respond with agility, quickly adapting to changing demand levels and shifting consumer habits. Our reputation for the highest standards of food safety underpins the Lala brands and customer loyalty. This was never more important than during the pandemic. These world-class standards and practices can be found throughout our supply chain. We are leveraging on our distinct competitive advantages far better today than when I rejoined the company, placing Lala on a more profitable growth trajectory and allowing us to operate with improved financial flexibility and from a position of strength. Please turn to slide five. During 2020, we remained focused on our strategic priorities and executed with greater discipline in an extremely challenging operating environment, successfully reaching important milestones. Mexico is by far our largest business and therefore our initial strategic priority as a core market. 2020 was a turnaround year, and I am pleased to note that we ended the year having successfully stabilized this business. Substantially improved profitability in Mexico has also enabled us to make progress toward deleveraging our balance sheet to our target ratio of 2.5 times net debt to EBITDA. By rationalizing our business and being more disciplined in allocating capital, we remain aligned with our strategy to focus on core markets and increase profitability while redirecting resources toward higher returning assets. Along these lines, we recently reassessed the return potential of our Central America business and have shed our Costa Rican operations as announced in December of last year. Our ROIC-focused approach will also be essential to improve LALA's profitability outside Mexico and to generating sustainable growth. LALA employees are crucial to our success as a company. Throughout the pandemic, our business continuity plan included a range of robust processes and protocols to safeguard LALA's employees, stakeholders, and operations. And I am particularly pleased to stress the fact that LALA has not needed to lay off employees during the health crisis. Additionally, LALA has continued to support our communities through food donations, among other forms of support. In Mexico alone, we have donated over 2 million liters since the beginning of the pandemic. Please turn to slide 6 for a closer look at the progress we made last year. As noted, we have completed the turnaround of our Mexico business, leading to a 68% increase in quarterly EBITDA and a 450 basis point margin expansion. We stabilized this business by right-sizing and restructuring its operations, by rectifying prior costly problems. As we have pointed out in the past, we also streamlined and improved demand planning, generating operating efficiencies. COVID-19, therefore, did not affect our recovery efforts during 2020. On the contrary, it drove our teams to be more resolute and effective. Throughout this process, we have also maintained the continuity of our growth strategy. To this end, today we are executing the strategy with a greater focus on innovations that have higher and more sustainable profit potential while extracting further value from prior product investments. At the same time, we are successfully leveraging our strong brands, which span socioeconomic demographics and preferences, to capitalize on opportunities arising from changes in consumer preferences and habits in the current dynamic environment. Please turn to slide 7. We have taken solid steps to strengthen our cash flow towards our objective of deleveraging our business. First, we have improved Mexico's margin as it represents 90% of our consolidated EBITDA. Second, we have achieved record low working capital in the fourth quarter. And third, we have rationalized effectively our investments, leading to an improved CapEx ratio of 2.5%. These three actions contributed to an improved leverage ratio, with net debt standing at 3.1 times EBITDA at year end, down from 3.5 times in the prior quarter. Please turn to slide 8. Consistent with the need to generate sufficient returns on capital, we overhauled LALA's Central America business based on a comprehensive evaluation of its geographic footprint and a careful analysis of performance and future strategic fit. This led to closing the Costa Rican operations at the end of the year. We determined that future returns were lower than those of our other assets, and that resources being used by the business should be reallocated to other markets where the potential to drive sustainable and profitable growth is much higher. As part of our reassessment, we also evaluated our operations in Guatemala and Nicaragua, which led to an impairment test and charge against goodwill in the latter country. In his presentation, Alberto will provide further details on these one-time expenses. Please turn to slide 9. Before discussing our regional performance in more detail, I would like to review our quarterly performance, which improved substantially in 2020. On a constant currency basis, sales increased 10%, led by Mexico and Brazil. Our normalized EBITDA margin expanded 340 basis points to 10.8%, driven by a 450 basis points increase in Mexico's reported margin, which rose to 13%. Excluding the one-time costs in Central America and the tax benefit in Brazil in the fourth quarter of 2019, net income rose to 616 million pesos, a 300 basis point increase as a percentage of sales. Working capital improved even further during the quarter, falling to negative 0.8%, a delta of 140 basis points versus last year's quarter. And again, our leverage ratio fell 40 basis points sequentially to 3.1 times EBITDA. Now, let's take a closer look at the performance of our Mexico business in the fourth quarter. Please turn to slide 11. During the fourth quarter, sales increased 9.5%, driven by price and volume. It is important to note that sales were strong in both the traditional and modern channels, while at-home consumption continued to drive sales in the following categories: UHT milk, butter, cream, cheese, and Colcotts. Mexico's operational turnaround and restructuring also helped to capture more of the shift in consumer demand, in addition to generating the substantial expansion in EBITDA. Please turn to slide 12 to review our results in Brazil. A series of price increases that we implemented previously, as well as an improved product mix, drove sales over 24% higher during the quarter. As has been the case in Mexico, at-home consumption remains strong in Brazil. At the product level, this was reflected in a strong performance of requeijão, cream, mature cheeses, such as Parmesan cheese, milk, and spreads. The reduction in Brazil's government-sponsored Corona voucher adversely impacted LALA's sales volume during the fourth quarter, as did price increases that we made to offset cost inflation. Regional retailers accounted for much of the sales growth during the fourth quarter, as did indirect trade channels comprised of third-party brokers and distributors. We have been increasingly using brokers to successfully enter into and expand within Brazil's white spaces. Sales at our Brazil food service business show positive growth during the quarter, although not on a per-client basis, resulting in a continued gradual recovery. Volume losses were partially offset by new clients in the fast food sector, where we are also introducing new products. Additionally, we are gaining new type of clients, including restaurants and bakeries. Please turn to slide 13. Brazil's margin saw continued pressure as a result of rising raw material cost as well as further currency depreciation. The average cost of raw milk rose 56%, while soybean oil increased by 90%. Brazil's margin expanded on a comparable basis 120 basis points year over year, excluding a one-off benefit from 2019. In addition to the price increases that we implemented, we took a number of other steps to mitigate cost pressure in Brazil. We are now more efficient at the commercial level, reducing product returns. As I mentioned before, we have been expanding into white spaces. We are profiting from the mature cheese increased capacity, and we have completed the expansion of our food service offering with new products. Please turn to slide 14. Challenges remain in the U.S. with regards to top-line growth, as well as the productivity of Lala's operations in this market. Fourth quarter sales decreased nearly 10% as the same shift towards at-home consumption resulted in lower demand for our on-the-go products as well as decreased food service sales. On the positive side, Lala's Promised Land products continued to show a strong performance. They grew at a double-digit rate during the fourth quarter, driven in part by seasonal flavors such as our limited edition Eggnog, and Lala Crema continued to benefit from at-home consumption. With regard to profitability, high single-digit decreases in volume resulted in a loss of operating leverage and further margin contraction. Please turn to slide 15 for a review of our results in Central America. Our business in this region was resilient in the face of two hurricanes, in addition to the still strong economic impact of COVID-19. Excluding Costa Rica, sales had a slight contraction of 0.6% in Nicaragua and Guatemala. Despite category contractions in these countries, milk sales grew in the high single digits. Additionally, Lala brands are consolidating our leadership in the milk and yogurt segments, where our market share remains quite strong in both countries. Not surprisingly, pandemic-driven consumer behavior continued to impact our yogurt and ice cream sales. Nicaragua and Guatemala EBITDA margin was 3.1% due to cost and expense controls. For the year, excluding Costa Rica, the EBITDA was $4.4 million. Alberto will now review our results in more detail, and I will return later on with some final remarks.
Thank you, Arquimedes. Good day to all of you. Please turn to slide 17. Volume growth in Mexico, together with price adjustments, drove top-line expansion in the country. Also, Brazil's top line increased thanks to a combination of volume hike and strong price increase behind a double-digit input cost inflation in the country. On a reported basis, the appreciation of the US dollar did not compensate the depreciation of the Brazilian real, resulting on a 7.5 sales growth. Please move to slide 18 for details on our one-offs in Central America. Following a thorough reassessment of our CAM business, particularly its strategic fit, as well as alignment with our growth strategy, we determined that our operations in Costa Rica could not deliver sufficient results on capital and should therefore be closed. As Archimedes noted, capital and other resources will be redirected to other countries, where the potential to deliver profitable growth over the long term is higher. The one-time costs related to the closure in Costa Rica were lower than what we had communicated early December. In total, these costs had a 433 million peso impact on the fourth quarter, consisting of A, 53 million pesos in expenses and contingencies related to the shutting down of operations, and B, 380 million pesos in non-cash write-offs of assets and goodwill. This reassessment of CAM also led to an impairment test in Nicaragua, which resulted in a one-time non-cash write-off of 830 million pesos against the goodwill associated with our business in this country. Please turn to slide 19, where we present the effect of these one-offs on EBITDA, EBIT, and net income. Lala's consolidated EBITDA was impacted by 103 million pesos from the closure of our operations in Costa Rica, while operating profit and net income were equally affected by 443 million and 830 million pesos from Costa Rica and the impairment of Nicaragua, respectively. As shown in the slides, normalized figures exclude these one-time impacts for comparability purposes. Please turn to slide 20. As we shared throughout 2020, our focus on stabilizing operations and margins in Mexico was our top priority. Following a gradual expansion in our EBITDA margin throughout the year, we reached 13% during Q4 2020. In turn, that drove consolidated EBITDA up 340 basis points to a normalized 10.8%, reaching 2.2 billion pesos. The recovery in our profitability reflects a disciplined focus on operational efficiency, margin expansion, and return on invested capital, which we aim to continue improving across all of our businesses. Please move to slide 21. Moving to our income statement. On a normalized basis, fourth quarter operating income increased 125% to 1.4 billion pesos. The appreciation of the Mexican peso and lower interest rates also helped us, with financing costs and expenses falling 22% versus last year. Our normalized effective tax rate in the quarter decreased 60 basis points to 31.5%, with our bottom line coming to 616 million pesos versus our break-even result last year, and the corresponding normalized margin of 3% on sales. Please turn to slide 22 to look at our debt structure. As a result of our debt liability management, we entered 2021 with a healthier debt profile and financial flexibility regarding maturities, but also in terms of denomination and fixed interest. Further, our leverage has improved with the EBITDA that was generated throughout the year. Another improvement was our funding cost, with our weighted cost of debt with derivatives fallen 80 basis points over the last year. As we did in the previous quarter, we reduced short-term loans as our business proved to be resilient during the pandemic and external risks have diminished. As you can see on slide 23, our leverage ratio fell 0.4, sequentially to 3.1 times net debt on EBITDA on a reported basis. Given our current run rate EBITDA, we remain reasonably confident in our ability to achieve leverage of 2.5 times over an 18 to 24 month horizon. Please turn to slide 24. As many of you know, we have consistently improved our working capital metrics in Mexico, where it has been negative since third quarter of 2019. With an eye on capital efficiency, we have been improving working capital management in our other regions as well. As you can see on this slide, all geographies have delivered working capital enhancements for two consecutive years. In the last 12 months, Brazil and the U.S. have reduced its working capital on sales ratio by 360 basis points, while Central America has done it by 660 basis points. With return on invested capital in mind, we aim to continue managing working capital on an efficient fashion. The same regarding CapEx, as shown on slide 25. All capital expenditures are subject to a rigorous ROIC analysis across our businesses. During 2020, CapEx to sales decreased 10 basis points to 2.5%, including leasing agreements. With that, I turn the mic back to Archimedes for his final remarks before we move to the Q&A session. Archimedes, please go ahead.
Thank you, Alberto. Lala emerged from a year of unprecedented challenges as a far stronger company, having turned around our Mexico operations and rationalized our Central America business. We accomplished this by maintaining an unwavering focus on our strategic priorities, namely Lala's core markets and ROIC-based financial decisions, all with the goal of driving profitable and sustainable growth. Additionally, we were able to quickly adapt to and take advantage of shifts in consumer habits and preferences, thanks to Lala's robust supply chain and the breadth of our product portfolio, as well as the strong brand loyalty that we have built and preserved with consumers over many years. In the aggregate, these strong competitive advantages, as well as solid execution against our strategic priorities, deliver an 8.2 increase in annual constant currency sales and a 50 basis point expansion in our normalized EBITDA margin in Mexico during 2020. Besides the negative working capital that we have maintained in Mexico, we improve across all regions, achieving negative working capital of 0.8% for the year, another reason why we have been able to increase cash flow. And lastly, on this slide, we closed our Costa Rican operation, which had been a drag on Central America's profitability. Please turn to the next and last slide. Looking ahead, while 2021 will undoubtedly be another challenging year, given the varying effects of COVID-19 and its economic impact on our markets, we remain committed to our strategic priorities and will take additional actions to drive a stronger, more sustainable, and profitable business for the future. As such, we are focused on building upon our considerable progress in 2020 as we strive to realize LALA's full potential. We will remain committed to operational excellence in Mexico, which is key to sustainably driving profitable growth. In 2021, we will reassess our brand, innovation, segmentation, and go-to-market strategy of our Brazil and U.S. operations in the face of challenging environments. We expect additional margin expansion in Central America with solid performance in Nicaragua and Guatemala. Financial discipline remains a priority. Through prudent capital allocation, we expect annual CapEx to sales to remain around 3% in 2021. In addition, we intend to further consolidate improvements in working capital, keeping it at a negative to neutral level relative to sales. And we remain committed to further reducing LALA's debt leverage. Lastly, for 2021, we plan to better align our extensive ESG practices, which have been in effect throughout our organization for many years, through reinforced governance and towards the framework we use to drive sustainability initiatives. During our next earnings call, we will provide details on this important area of focus for our company. That concludes our prepared remarks. Operator, please open the call for questions.
Thank you. We'll now be conducting a question and answer session. If you'd like to be placed into question queue, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the question queue. You may press star 2 if you'd like to remove your question from the queue. For participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing star 1. One moment, please, while we poll for questions. Our first question today is coming from Ben Toiver from Barclays. Your line is now live.
Hey, good morning, and thank you very much for taking my question. So just a quick one, Archimedes, more from a strategic point of view. I mean, obviously, you've done a lot of the overhaul turnaround story. We've talked about Mexico in the past. We've seen all the initiatives you've just done in Central America, closing down Costa Rica, writing down in Nicaragua. Just to understand a little bit, what is on your plan for the future? Where do you still see opportunities to further improve? What's your target, aside from leverage and so on, where do you want operations to be from a profitability standpoint in each of the regions, and what needs to happen to get there?
Yes, good morning, and thank you for your question. I believe that, as you said it, after we stabilize the operation in Mexico, we can, being of course, given the size of the operation of Mexico, of course, the next one in terms of size is Brazil, and of course, we are also committed to improve our performance in Central America and the U.S. I believe that in Mexico, now we are prepared to retake our innovations program. We have been analyzing, of course, the consumer trends due to the pandemic, and of course, the ones that we consider will prevail after the COVID-19 crisis. So Mexico is prepared for the introduction of these innovations in the different segments where we participate. In the case of Brazil, we are reassessing our strategy there, having in mind the capacity that we have, the processing capacity and our distribution capabilities to have a better portfolio that, of course, will address the trends of the consumers there, but always focusing on improving our return on capital. So Brazil will be, let's say, an important area in terms of our focus in this year. I believe that Central America is, after the closing of Costa Rica, Central America, considering our market shares that we enjoy both in Nicaragua and Guatemala, we are well prepared to really improve our margins there and, of course, continue the growth. And finally, in the U.S., as we are doing it in Brazil, we are reassessing our strategy. We see opportunities for growth there, both in the Hispanic market and in the general market. We have been, of course, spending some time last year in the process of making the analysis in this geography, and we will share with the other regions the best practices that we have been implementing in Mexico, particularly in distribution in Central America and Brazil, and our innovation and marketing capabilities in the U.S. Of course, we do not ignore that the difficulties that the market is now presenting to us in all geographies, particularly the ones in Brazil and Central America. We think that the vaccination process in the U.S. is going really fast, and we are expecting a sooner recovery versus Latin America. But I believe that even with these barriers of obstacles that we had last year, the company is in a stronger position now to look for better performance, particularly in those regions where we are committed to really have a significant improvement during the coming years.
Okay, perfect. And just if we would have to tie that towards the target, I mean, clearly we've seen the success in Mexico, and you've shown this in the slides in terms of improving profitability. Now, where do you want to end up somehow on a consolidated basis if you would have to point towards a target from a profitability standpoint? I mean, clearly we understand that the U.S. is unlikely going to get as profitable as the Mexican market. But just to kind of know where the journey is heading to, what would you say is a level where you would feel comfortable? Where would you want the company to be on a consolidated level from a profitability point of view?
Yes. I would say that the targets are implied in one of our, let's say, main objectives, which is deleveraging the company. So if you look at our targets of what's the ratio that we are looking for in the coming months, that reflects where our objectives are. As you said, that the EBITDA coming from the USA is not significant for our operations, but our aim there is to grow the operation. So we need to grow the sales there by entering with a better distribution, with a better value proposition into new areas, and capturing the full potential of Lala brand within the Hispanic market. Central America, as I said, we are expecting a significant improvement. And Brazil is in the process of this year. We will start to implement gradually the things that we consider will improve margins. And again, recognizing that the environment is very challenging, particularly in terms of increase of cost of goods. But if you look at our numbers in terms of our objectives of the ratio that we are looking for, that reflects how we are expecting the generation of EBITDA for the whole company.
Okay, perfect. I'll leave it here. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question today is coming from Ulises Argote from JP Morgan. Your line is now live.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my question. So here we continue to see growth on volumes and prices. Obviously, the price path to continue here in Mexico. So my question is, how much more room do you see to continue increasing prices here, and where do you see kind of volumes trending towards in this regard? Also, if you can give us an update kind of on the performance across channels here in Mexico, and if you're seeing any up or down trading across your product categories. And then finally, if you can give us some update on where your kind of hedges or cost outlook stands into 2021, please. Thank you.
It's Beto speaking. Thanks for your question.
Yes.
So first of all, in terms of pricing in Mexico, as Arquimedes was saying, probably two major, I would say, redirections that we took in Mexico in 2020. One was the stabilization of the operations, and the other one was being very reactive and very proactive on the way we were managing pricing. So we took a couple of price increases in 2020. We will need to do probably the same in 2021. It all depends on how, obviously, the exchange rate and the input cost inflation is going to be profiling to be. But at this point in time, we believe we are pretty much in a way or in a situation where we have been able to cover and maintain our margin on operations, and that's what we are planning to do as well during 2021. In Mexico, you were asking about some outlook in terms of input cost and prices. Remember that our milk equation and the way we are paying milk factors in a couple of different variables, but at the end of the day, it correlates very well with the Mexican inflation. So that's where we're thinking some of the input costs are going to be. And then the other variable, it really depends on what happens with exchange rate. Which leads me to your last question on the hedging and what have we done so far. Remember that we have a plain vanilla forward coverage. We pretty much cover between 60 to 80% of our dollar value exposure on the next 5 to 6 months, and we do that on a rolling basis and whenever we believe we have an opportunity. So that, you know, on that front, there's nothing new on how we are covering our exposure. In terms of channel performance in Mexico, we have seen, attraction in both channels. We have seen mom and pop stores delivering strongly versus last year, growing in some of our areas, even double digit, and that's a good sign on how the recovery has gradually been, happening in Mexico. But also self-service has been growing, both in terms of volume and top line overall. So we are not in a position where I can tell you there's one channel growing more than the other one. But we are consistently seeing that top line and gradually coming on. And then U.S. basically on price and your last question was up trading and down trading. The reality is that we have seen expansion in across our portfolio. When you look at both milk and milk formula, both have been performing well. They both serve a different purpose and they both are, I would say, strong and market leaders in their subcategories. So we have not seen that much of a downtrending or uptrending when it comes to category or family mix.
Yes, that is super helpful. Thanks for the color and congrats again, guys, on the results.
I would like to add that in addition to our policy on price increases due to cost inflation. As we did it in 2020, we continue our efforts in having a highly efficient operation company. So it's not only that we are going to transfer the inflation cost to the consumers, particularly in the year where we all know about the economic problems in the country. We will focus once again in improving our efficiencies all along the company. Thanks.
Thank you. Our next question today is coming from Miguel Totolero from GBM. Your line is now live.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for the space for questions. The first regarding the U.S., I mean, you had finally break even, and then the pandemic kicked in, bringing a tough year over there. So my question would be, this year regarding your plans for this division, with your increasing focus on Mexico and profitable operations, would a divestment be on the table for the U.S.? And also considering this focus on value creation and more optimal capital allocation, and I know your focus is on deleveraging, but has anything changed in your view on buybacks?
Yes. Hi, Miguel. It's Beto. So in the case of the U.S., yes, it was a disappointment that we went back to red figures in Q4. Obviously, it had been a major rapid recovery in 2019. And what we see is that if you look at the portfolio and the operation, the operation that has suffered the most with the pandemic, basically, given the lower on-the-go consumption, has been the U.S. So we believe that once the economy rebounds and once the consumption gets back basically on their feet, we should see a recovery on top line in the U.S. There are two categories that we're also putting a lot of focus on. One is cream. Cream is a category in the U.S. that we have not necessarily tapped in terms of opportunity, and we have a very good product that is performing well. And also, we see growth, double-digit growth, by the way, in our specialty milk, the promised land part of the business. But it is not the biggest part of the business. The biggest part continues to be, obviously, drinkable yogurt. As a potential investment, at this point in time, we don't think we could get some value and investors value thinking about that. It's more on how we turn around the business. It's more on how we continue growing the business. The current situation is one where we don't think it's a good momentum or moment to think about that. So it's really how to expand margins, how to keep growing, and keep trying different things in terms of all the categories, as I was saying. That's a little bit on the U.S.
Yes, that answers the question. Thank you. But the second one is on buybacks. Has anything changed regarding the view on this front?
Yeah, in terms of buybacks, we remained, I would say, focused on what we shared in Q1 of 2020, which was that we were really diverting all of our attention on paying down debt. We were not feeling comfortable on the level of leverage where we were a couple of quarters ago. We have seen a recovery on that. We are at 3.1. We really want to get to a level of 2.5 before thinking on something else. So we have decided on that front, Miguel, really to be laser focused on repaying debt as the best way of creating value for shareholders.
Great. Thank you, Beto.
Thank you. Next question today is Alvaro Garcia from BCB. Your line is now live.
Hi, gentlemen. Good morning. Thank you for the call. I have two questions. The first question is on your comments sort of on the last slide talking about reassessing your strategy in Brazil and the U.S. Just sort of if you could clarify what that means exactly for Brazil. Does that mean sort of reconfiguring the portfolio or moving to or from more food service or less food service, or is it a broader sort of strategic overhaul of your presence there altogether? So that's my first question. And my second question is on market share dynamics. I'm not sure if you can, I know you've been very active on the pricing front and you know, the commodity outlook into next year is pretty intimidating. If you could share any sort of tidbits on market share dynamics on the back of your most recent price increase. Thank you.
Yes. In the case of Brazil, what we are saying means that we have an existing operation. We have important brands, and we participate in different categories in that market. But we think that we have opportunities all along the activities of the company. First, in our value proposition, in various segments where we are participating, we think that it is necessary to have a improved and a better value proposition for those segments and take advantage of our existing processing capacity to have a larger market share, but along with that, of course, a better margin. And there are some, I would say, underdeveloped good margin segments where distribution is something that can be extended, and by doing that, we can increase sales. And then on the internal side of the company, we see opportunities, and we started last year to develop new processes to capture those opportunities. And those opportunities start from how we sell. I did a little comment on the reduction of returns, but the whole supply chain can be more efficient. So the reassessments include, I would say, in general, the value proposition that we have in some of the segments. Of course, that doesn't mean that we will change everything, but some of the segments will be redesigned, increase the distribution, and, of course, improve the efficiencies in the whole supply chain of the company.
Thank you. Our next question is coming from Hector Maya from Santander Bank. Your line is now live.
Hi, thank you very much. Hi, Arquimedes, Alberto. Congratulations on the results and the stabilization of Mexico. I just have two questions. The first one in Mexico, you have a leaner operation, and now you clearly reached again the 13% EBITDA margin. So should we take that to remain competitive in pricing, or do you believe that there could still be further efficiencies that could give you more room to push that margin higher this year?
Yes. Hi, Hector. In reality, our focus, I mean, we are still going to be having a difficult year in terms of 2021 when it comes to the pandemic. So we need to be very, I would say, attentive, not to overdo in pricing and make sure that our overall volume performance as well is being addressed. So we will do whatever it takes to maintain our margins in terms of the input cost pressure. But I wouldn't necessarily at this point count on a further margin expansion, given that we don't really know how the year is going to be profiled and how the year is going to be potentially affected or not consumption. So The message there is really pricing is going to be a factor of our input cost inflation, and we want to make sure that we can maintain our current margins.
That's fair enough. Thank you very much. And my last question is for Brazil. I think you might have mentioned before the possibility of using powdered milk from, I don't know, Brazil, Uruguay, and Argentina to purchase them. How much progress do you see that you have on this front, or is there a different long-term strategy for Brazil to tackle this issue?
Yeah, so I was not able to hear completely your question, but I believe you asked about the possibility of using powder milk in Brazil.
Yes, and how much progress you have on that front, and if you have any other long-term strategy to solve the issue or to offset this issue.
Yeah. So in the case of Brazil, we are really looking at different alternatives to optimize our operations and our supply chain in the country. Those include as well, obviously, different formulation, different input, a variety of alternatives, which we also use in Mexico and other countries. At this point in time, really our focus is that given that we cannot control what is happening with the price of milk, it's more to be prepared on what are the things that we can control and what are the things that we can do. And those have to do with ideas such as increasing productivity, increasing our asset utilization in the country, being very blunt and very bold on making sure that we don't lose an opportunity to increase prices. But again, during 2021, we are still seeing Brazil and some of our other countries affected by the pandemic, so we need to be very careful on that equation, not to tamper volume. But those are the three or four ideas, Hector, that we're working on potentially improving the margins in Brazil.
Excellent. Thank you very much, and congratulations on the results. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question today is coming from Carlos Vega from Afuera. Your line is now live.
Hello. Congratulations for your results. I just have two questions. First, can you explain a little bit more about Lala's strategy to reduce working capital to sales ratio, if it was via receivables, payables, or inventory? And if you're seeing this strategy sustainable over time. And the second question is about, can you give your insights about market share for byproduct for year 2020 and expectations for year 2021, please? Thank you.
Hi, Carlos. I'll take the first question, and I will let Artemis address the second one. In terms of working capital, Carlos, this is something that we started 3 years ago. We saw that Lala was standing on, I would say, a very inefficient working capital mix. Our working capital on sales was above 8%. And basically, over the course of these 3 years, we saved around about 5,000 million Mexican pesos on the improvement done in Mexico only. And this was a combination of, I would say, a lot of operational discipline and a very good management on the relationship with our customers, so our clients, to make sure that they were paying on time, to make sure that our process, internal processes, were reviewed to streamline and I would say, clean out of any inefficiencies in terms of the way we were printing or sending our invoices and they were collecting and so on. So an important improvement has been from our DSO or the days outstanding in terms of sales. And then the second element was also working on different strategies to offer our supplier base factoring as a potential option for them to get their financing very competitive rates. And then we were working by category on looking at the benchmark, looking at some of the countries, looking at some of the companies, and basically mimic what they've done in terms of working with suppliers. Because here, the most important element is something that you mentioned, which is the sustainability of these strategies. And yes, they are sustainable. We were working on that over the period of those 3 years. And then the last one is also making sure that we can streamline and work on the way we are managing our inventories, both raw material inventories and finished product inventories across our supply chain. And here we have been also very diligent on incorporating best practices in terms of planning, best practices in terms of processes, because we don't want to get an impact on the fill rate at the same time. So it has been a very, very delicate mix on how we orchestrate that internally in the company. It has been a company effort of people from operations, from sales, from supply chain, from finance, working towards that goal. And those, I would say, best practices have now been redeveloped or sent to the other countries. And as you saw, Central America, Brazil, and the U.S. are also excelling on improving working capital. Martinez, if you want to answer the market share.
Yes, question. Yes, in terms of, Victor, thank you. In terms of market share, I would say that in the different segments where we participate, of course, being milk, our largest component, we maintain our shares. And then the rest of the categories like yogurt, cheese, cream, we have some variations, but nothing really significant. I would say that they are also stable, going along with the market.
Thank you.
Thank you. As a reminder, that's star one to be placed in the question queue. Our next question is coming from Fernando Olvera from Bank of America. Your line is now live.
Hi, good morning, everyone, and thanks for taking my questions. My first question is regarding CapEx. I mean, your CapEx has been very low in the last couple of years, and it's going to be low again this year. So how should we think about your investments ahead, and for how long do you think you can keep this rationalized CapEx? And my second question, which I believe it's also linked to this one, is when do you think you can reach your goal of 2.5 times net debt to EBITDA? Thank you.
Yes. Hola, Fernando. On the CapEx front, the reality is that, hi again, the reality on CapEx is that it really comes as a company effort that we have in, I would say, working over the last couple of years as well. There's an investment committee inside the company. There's a competition for resources based on ROIC and based on how each one of the proposal investments are going to be delivering value to the shareholders. And there has been also a very strict, I would say, analysis from our finance committee, which reports to the board. So there are a lot of governance which have been in place that can assure this level of investment and, I would say, this level of focus, Fernando, over the next couple of years. Now, in terms of the way we have been replenishing, for instance, our fridge, changing the models of our trucks, of our cars, and so on, this has not been affected. So basically, we are investing on maintenance and productivity based on that competition that I share about. And we have been investing as well on those key projects in terms of growth that we believe have a higher return on invested capital. So there's nothing really that should be affect that on the years to follow. We don't have, at least on the foreseeable future, expansion plans in terms of new, you know, sites or this type of thing. So we should be able to maintain this level of capex over sales over the next couple of quarters/years, Fernando, on that front. And then on the target to 2.5, you know, we want to be very careful on that. We know that we have promised on this front specifically something to the market that has not been accomplished. But we are very solidly seeing that EBITDA expansion on one hand and our ability to repay debt over the last couple of months will be, I would say, transitioning gradually toward that result. So, yes, as I shared before, we should be expecting that in the neighborhood of 18 to 24 months, hopefully sooner.
Great. Thank you, Beto. Gracias.
Yeah, I'd like to add that the point is how we utilize those capex. So that's where we are really being very analytic in defining where are going to allocate that money.
Thank you. We've reached the end of our question and answer session. I'd like to turn the floor back over to David for any further closing comments.
Thank you, Kevin, and thank you everyone for joining our results call today. We look forward to talking to you on our next quarterly call, and of course, please stay safe.
Thank you. That does conclude today's teleconference. You may disconnect your line at this time and have a wonderful day. We thank you for your participation today.
Thank you.